We have this theme at the moment at Bristol Centre of the five spiritual faculties. Last time, Kulajalini began with Shraddha, faith. And this time we're going to be looking at Samadhi. So you've got these five faculties where mindfulness is the centre, and then you've got these two pairs. So you've got Shraddha, faith, and Prajna, wisdom. It's one pair, and then the other pair is Virya and Samadhi. Virya, energy in pursuit of the good, and Samadhi, meditative absorption. Sometimes just translated as concentration, but I'll go into that a little bit, the meaning of that. So what we want to bring out in this session to talk a bit about this aspect of meditative absorption, and the states of dhyana, which are particular states of samadhi, and particularly talk about the importance of a broad awareness. I'm going to say quite a lot about keeping a broad awareness and the helpfulness of that. And we've already started to explore that in the bodywork, the sense of the whole body, particularly as a kind of field of energy, sometimes called the energy body, or the soma, or the somatic cloud. So that's our territory. So samadhi, meditative absorption. The actual word, so this prefix sam means something like with or together, coming together. And the word samadhi also has these additional meanings of, it can mean something like agreement or harmony or concord, say within a community. It means kind of wholeness or integration. Sangharakshita talks about it as a state where all our psychophysical energies are coming together. So there's a coming together of our energies. Rather than being dispersed, where all of our attention, all of our energy, all of our being is kind of in one place. So, dhyana. These are particular states of samadhi, particular states of absorption. I know some people will be really, really familiar with this, and some people less so. I'm not going to go through the whole sort of map of dhyana, because there's eight of them, eight dhyanas, but I'm going to focus on the first two and just say a little bit about those first two. So, yeah, the first dhyana. The main thing about the first dhyana is that is characterized by priti. Priti is quality, so-called dhyana factor of priti, piti in Pali, meaning pleasurable energy in the body of a non-sensual from source. Pleasurable energy in the body. So any time you've had sort of tingling in the body arising from meditation or from, say, from yoga, perhaps particularly at the end of yoga practice when you do a lying down practice, that is priti. That tingling, that energy in the body. And in the first dhyana, that factor is to the fore. That's the main thing that's focused on, that we're staying with, the predominant experience. And there's also sukha, which is a quality of happiness, joy, that bubbles up. And it's got a whole kind of range from very bubbly and excited and kind of joyous, through to really, really more like serenity, tempered with a lot of equanimity, contentment, serenity, peace. So then in the second dhyana, that quality of sukha, of happiness, is what comes to the fore. And there's still this pleasurable energy in the body, but that's kind of more in the background. So in the first dhyana, you've got the pleasurable energy is to the foreground, the happiness is in the background. The second dhyana, it's the other way around. So when you're doing this kind of practice and you get absorbed, you might have got to that absorption through any number of practices, through metta, through mindfulness of breathing, through body scanning, or even, you know, mantra chanting or visualization practice. But there comes a point where when those qualities have come and become stable, then you kind of, they become the focus. So for example, if you're working with a breath, then the breath, for a while you're working with the breath, and then say this pleasurable energy arises. At a certain point, you then, that becomes the focus, the enjoyment, the well-being inherent in that pleasurable energy, or the happiness in the second jhana, that becomes the focus. Something that can get in the way actually of getting absorbed is that you cling. People don't make that transition and they kind of cling too tightly to the object in the practice that they're doing. So you keep clinging tightly to the breath rather than making that shift to really, really taking in the pleasurable energy that's arising. It can feel like the two things just kind of get blended actually. You know, body, breath, awareness, pleasurable energy all get blended. So I thought at this point we could do a couple of short exercises to explore these jhana qualities. And I know people are probably in very different places with this. Sometimes people are familiar with the kind of maps of all this stuff, but they haven't so much experienced it themselves. Sometimes people have experienced it, but they haven't had the labels or the map for it. So hoping to sort of just get some more clarity about what those qualities are, hopefully in our own experience. So we're just going to do a short little exercise now, really short. So just taking a moment to settle. Taking ourselves in. And noticing the Vedana of our experience. So whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neither. So whatever's coming to the fore, whatever's taking our attention, noticing its pleasantness, unpleasantness, neutrality. Noticing what that's like. to be aware of that. And noticing now some pleasant sensation in the body. There might be something that's obviously pleasant, might be something that's just subtly a little bit pleasant. And noticing that pleasantness. That's the focus. And now seeing what it's like to really allow that pleasantness to be enjoyed. Is there something that can happen that allows us to really enjoy that pleasantness, even if it's really subtle? So I'm really interested to hear if anybody is willing to say something, anything that you noticed, perhaps particularly about any difference between just focusing on pleasantness and then bringing in allowing enjoyment of that pleasantness. Maybe there was a difference, maybe there wasn't. If you'd like to say something, the easiest is just unmute yourself and speak.
I had a very clear, calm sort of spaciousness in my head, which was lovely. And I was enjoying my breathing. And it was good to focus on that rather than the normal things that come to the front, like the stiffness in my neck and the shoulder. So that was my experience.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, spaciousness is pleasurable, isn't it?
Mm.
And yet it's quite subtle. It's quite a subtle pleasure.
And the coolness of my breath going in and out.
Yeah. Did you notice anything when I said let yourself really, really enjoy it? Was maybe there wasn't any change, but did you notice anything?
I think that's when I started noticing my breathing a bit more.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, part of the territory with samadhi is allowing ourselves to enjoyment and really, really recognizing that as fundamental and part of practice. And it's really interesting because we can have all sorts of blocks to that. As you start to do more of this practice, people might have already experienced this. You can uncover these, subtle views maybe that, spiritual practice isn't supposed to be that nice. Or a little bit, is okay. A little bit of happiness, it's all right, but mostly I'm supposed to be. Or thinking about other people or something. Whereas the Buddha actually really encouraged the enjoyment of samadhi, and he said, this is a pleasure that I will allow myself. And obviously, the Buddha was a renunciant, and yet he was saying, this is a pleasure I will allow myself. He really encouraged it. Anything, I can see a wave there, Becca.
It is. I suppose, I mean, it's obvious really, but that thing about whether experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, in some ways that often slightly throws me because it's like it's usually, for me anyway, it's a mix. It's quite a, it's a mix of all of those things. And it's sort of about where my awareness might rest or focus or choose to put it. So, yeah, I guess I was aware of very quite tight, unpleasant feelings around my solar plexus because I'm a bit jumped about something at the moment, but a real sense of pleasure in the contact of my feet with the ground. So, I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but it's like experience is often so mixed, isn't it? It's often, I think, not one thing or the other particularly.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. And it, part of this samadhi practice is that you are, in a way, choosing. You're choosing to lean the attention towards what's pleasurable, towards what's nourishing, and not as a way of bypassing. So this is really important. So if you only in your practice leaned towards what's pleasurable and beautiful, then it's not going to work, is it? We know that actually part of practice is that we have to turn towards the difficult as well. But we don't have to do that all the time. And also, in kind of nourishing ourself through really getting used to states of pleasure and well-being and happiness, then we make it easier to turn towards the difficult and painful because we're resourced. It's an aspect of what Pavendrishi talks about, the resilience. You're resourcing yourself. And, the difficult will open up more as well when you're more resourced and grounded. It has the space where it feels safe or something like that. And then the other way around as well, if you're blocking yourself and not going there with the difficult, then it can be really, and you're really resisting it, then everything's tight and the well-being and the everything's, can't flow. Our energy is not going to flow. So there's this two-way thing. But it's a bit different in this aspect, the samadhi practice, that we're not primarily investigating the difficult. When stuff comes up, we have to respond to it, but we're learning to find these grooves and habits of well-being and joy and
Hi, Jyoti.
Yeah.
Cool.
Paul, hi.
Something I found w was that when you encouraged us to focus on the pleasurable experience, I felt like something in my back, actually, which, you know, sort of a usual problem with tightness or whatever, that felt like it had space to release somehow.
Yeah.
I think that's what was happening. So I thought that was maybe a micro version of what you're talking about in terms of focusing on, by focusing on the pleasurable, it allows other stuff to release, maybe. Certainly in my body it did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And sometimes there's the ways you can, you know, if that's not happening organically as it did, you can even encourage it a little bit, you know. Oh, okay, there's some well-being in my belly, but my shoulders are really tight. So how about some sense of the energy of the belly, which is feeling good, bringing that to the shoulders, you know, or even imagining some kind of energetic channel. I can find it quite helpful to have a sort of a loop that goes on. You know, this part is in pain, or it's maybe just a bit disconnected, tight. Imagine a loop, perhaps of energy, or loop with a breath that encompasses, that takes it in and connects it to parts of the body which are feeling looser and more resourced. Yeah. So part of what I wanted to share with the exercise was the difference between a kind of just noticing something pleasant and really enjoying it. So sometimes that practice with Vedana is done in a very different way as part of insight practice. You can, you know, if you zoom right in to the pleasant, it's like it's not the same as really enjoying it. Enjoyment, well-being, is something that's a bit broader. You know, it requires space. Sometimes the word well-being is used for preeti rather than pleasure, because it implies this kind of allowing, the enjoying of it. So that's something to look out for. It's like, and a really good question to ask if we're wanting to go deeper with this stuff is there some way that I could enjoy this more? So it might be that immediately when you ask that question, you know, oh yeah, my shoulders could drop a little bit. Or I could just kind of ease up a little bit. Or I could kind of just bring myself in more wholeheartedly. Sometimes an intuitive response comes. Sometimes we need to sort of investigate a little bit more or feel into our experience a little bit more. But it's a really good question. Is there some way that I can enjoy this more? What needs to happen? And it might be just quite a little subtle shift. Sometimes it's the shift from kind of the attention being just a little bit coarse towards a real kind of sensitivity or delicacy of attention, real kind of kind listening to the experience. So let's do another little exercise. I don't know whether you feel like maybe just taking a minute to have a little shake out. I think we need this with Zoom, because it's very gets sucked into the screen, don't we? It's broadening out, feeling into the whole body again. Noticing the quality of our breathing. And then coming back to sitting. And again, seeing if we can keep a sense of the whole energy body. So that's the whole space of the body. So if there's a painful thought or something painful in the body, that the awareness is always tending to shrink. Seeing if we can broaden it out again. Settling, grounding. Space in the body, space in our joints. Whole body moved by the breath. And now I invite you to consciously smile. Just a relaxed half smile. Just really noticing what happens as we do that. What happens in the body? What happens in the heart mind? Noticing if the eyes are part of that smile. Seeing if it's possible to feel that smile in the belly. Belly smiling. And are there other parts of the body that can join in with that smile? It might even be possible to have a sense of the whole space of the body being that smile. So again, that was quite brief. That's something to perhaps try again in your own meditation. Anyone, anything that was noticed there? Nigel.
Yeah, I noticed when compared the smile in my head to the rest of the body, it was different. I felt the smile in my head and in my throat kind of similar, but to the rest of my body it was different. So I kept alternating between the two sensations. And gradually it extended the feeling. And it was quite a good experience. Thank you.
Great. I'm really interested in what that difference was. It's hard to put these things into words, isn't it? But
well, it just felt a bit sort of, the other experience was just a bit more lumpy and a bit more sort of sweaty kind of thing. And it wasn't as pleasant, really.
Thank you. Yes. That's interesting, that word lumpy, because I find myself thinking like that, that sometimes in this process of trying to sort of fill the whole body with a particular quality, sometimes it feels lumpy. It's like there's bits sticking out, or, you know, say I'm aware of physical pain or something, rather than the energetic experience. And then gradually, as you described, there was a gradual coming together, wasn't there? Sort of homogenizing, which is very much the process of deepening in samadhi, that it's, you know, starts off lumpy and becomes smoother, more integrated.
Sometimes when I do similar on my own. Sometimes I get sounds kind of just appear out of nowhere, kind of thing, like they were buried in my body. And, you know, when you kind of focus on that area of the body, the sound's kind of going to give off, kind of thing, and lose the energy. And it's quite exhilarating. Not the sound itself, but the release of energy is quite exhilarating. I mean, it didn't happen this morning, but it has happened in the past.
Wow, aren't our minds amazing? It's really fascinating to hear that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that energy, that's that you're describing, yeah. Preeti, that's it. Yeah.
Nalini?
I kind of, just before you said about this smile, I was almost going to smile, you know, just before you said that. And I kind of noticed a golden glow, like the sun was shining on me. Mm. Well, obviously, it's not a sunny day today, so can't be the sun from the outside. And then I kind of went to my belly, and then it was still the same glow. Then I went to my heart, and it was the whole body kind of experience and glow, so which was kind of really beautiful to sit in this sort of golden glow, kind of as if the sun was shining, as if I was sitting in the sun. So that was kind of beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's not uncommon for people to describe something like that with samadhi, some quality of light of some colour, quite often, you know, white or... and yeah, it's almost like it goes with, as you describe, you know, it kind of goes with the pleasurable energy arising, the well-being. It goes alongside it and kind of is sort of part of it. Yeah, I think just to say one thing with it is to kind of keep noticing the pleasurableness of it, keep enjoying it. Sounds like you were doing that.
One thing I'm kind of wondering about, actually, because as the sun, it's not a very sunny day, so is that sort of glow, golden glow, coming from a sort of inner light, inner glow,
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it. I've heard people, I'm smiling because I've heard people say this before. They were like, there was this really strong light and I opened my eyes to see whether it was coming from outside and it wasn't, you know. So yeah, sounds like it. It is common for that. And the reason I said about staying with the well-being is that sometimes when you get this kind of secondary thing that comes with the dhyana factor, you get a bit kind of mesmerized by that. And it can be helpful to stay with it, but the primary thing is the well-being that's coming alongside it. So making sure you're staying with, you know, the awareness is with the well-being.
Thank you.
So let's do, how are we doing time-wise? I want to say a very little bit about breadth of awareness, just very briefly, that it's important for samadhi, it's important for just well-being generally. So we can think that this kind of practice needs you to concentrate very tightly on one thing. Sometimes that's how it's taught, and that can be a good approach for some people at some times, although eventually you have to broaden out. Because when you're with something like, hopefully that's become clear from what we've already done, you can't kind of be really tight around an experience like happiness. It's not like that. So you can either kind of start in a more focused way and then broaden out, or you can just start broad, or you can sort of mix the two. And I'm going to share that in the lead meditation, that you can be with one place in the body and also aware at the same time of the whole body. And the broad awareness is kind of inherently has a stability to it. It's a bit like a chair with, you know, if you have four legs, that's more stable than three, say. There's a stability there. And that's part of what is a quality of samadhi, that there's a stability. It's also a broad awareness is sort of inherently relaxing. There's a lovely little meditation by Bodhipaksha on Insight Timer where he explores this. I can't remember the name of it now. It's got relaxing in the title, I think. And he shows you how, you know, if you tune in with the periphery of your awareness, so your peripheral vision, it's kind of inherently relaxing. And actually having a very tight focus can get entangled with a stress response. Because when you're stressed, you narrow. When you have a fight or flight response, you're very focused because your body thinks you're in danger. So, you know, tiger coming, you're pretty focused on where that tiger is. So this can be something really interesting to explore. How does that broad awareness kind of have an inherent letting go, an inherent relaxation to it? There's a lot to say about this. You know, clinging to anything is always a tightening and narrowing in the body, but also in the space of our awareness. So if we want to let go, and we need to let go to get absorbed and to be happy, we need to broaden our view, broaden, let go in the body. And it's there when the Buddha's talking about dhyana, he talks about how you're progressing so that whatever dhyana factor is to the fore, you're allowing it to drench, suffuse, and pervade the whole body. And he repeats that phrase. So it might be in the beginning you're just getting in touch with the quality, the well-being, or the happiness, or whatever. And then you can allow it to broaden out, just as we did in that exercise. See if it's possible for it to broaden. Okay, let's do a longer lead practice. This is going to be about 20 minutes, actually. So just making sure everybody's muted, I think. Great. So as we settle into the posture, grounding, seeing if we can allow our contact with the earth to reassure our being. There's nothing we need to do now, there's nothing we need to look out for. Softening the eyes, letting them rest. Seeing if the throat can rest drawing on the peacefulness, the stability, solidity of the earth under us, really feeling that quiet, still. And body blending with the ground, melting into the ground through those points of contact. Softening in the belly. Feeling the rise and fall of the belly with the breath. And can there be a sense of the whole body breathing, the whole body opening out, expanding with the in-breath. And the whole body settling back with the out-breath. And drawing back, releasing with the out-breath. And feeling how the whole body is energized with the in-breath. Whole space of the body. Touched by the breath. Whole space of the body as this in-breath, this energizing in-breath. and the whole space of the body, this letting go, this release of out-breath. So staying connected to the whole space of the body, but also resting the attention in one particular place. And with the awareness in that place, what's the most enjoyable breath for the whole body? So would that be a long breath or a short breath? Maybe it's a really subtle breath or a more distinct breath. So really attuned, really sensitive to that one place in the body. And to the whole space of the body. So there's no pressure on the breath. It's just a really delicate, sensitive listening to what feels best, what feels most enjoyable. And noticing anything that's enjoyable, that's pleasurable. Maybe quite subtle. Is there a different flavour to that enjoyment on the in-breath and on the out-breath? So whatever's arising, is it possible for there to be more enjoyment? What's needed? Bring enjoyment. Maybe it's helpful to bring a real delicacy of attention noticing? What's the emotional tone of our experience?